Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I was fortunate enough a couple weeks ago to be on a wonderful TV program in the Nashville area called Ring of Faith, and it's hosted by a wonderful couple, Anthony and Leanne Cooper, and got to know them after the program, and we've stayed in touch since then, and just a powerful, powerful story that they have with Ring of Faith, and we're going to be talking with both of them. We're going to start off our first program today with Anthony Cooper. And Anthony, first of all, thanks so much for being on Hope Is Here today, man.
Thanks a lot for having me. It was a pleasure having you on our show. You did a great job.
Well, I so appreciate it, and it was just a wonderful opportunity. I appreciate you being with us because, as we talked about that day, everybody has a story, and you guys have a powerful one, which led you to start Ring of Faith after what God did in your life. And like a lot of people, man, you enjoyed alcohol, a lot of people do, and for some people it doesn't work out so well, and wind up kind of being a struggle for you. So share a little bit about that. How many years did you struggle with drinking, and when were you first introduced to alcohol?
I never really struggled with it. I was very good at it. I drank very well. I drank a lot, and my dad tells me, they would always make a joke, you know, my dad, my uncles and stuff. They said they'd get me drunk when I was like 3 years old. They used to drink like peppermint schnapps, and they'd put like in the cap, the lid, and they'd give it to me. They're talking about how one time I was just there and I kept asking for drinks, and all of a sudden they looked over and I was passed out. So I just grew up around that. That's all I knew, was drinking and fighting and arguing. When I met Leanne, you know, she didn't drink that much. So I was like, how do you have a good time? What do you do? I mean, that's all I did. I mean, I remember when I was in seventh grade being at this kid's house and after school, and I got in their liquor cabinet. I mean, I was just puking all over the place. I mean, I was just, the devil had me from a young age. And I mean, I drank for years and years and years.
Well, talk a little bit about that. What was it like growing up for you in your home? Was it a stable home life? What was that like?
When I was real little, my mom and dad, they fought all the time. My dad drank a lot. They just argue and fight, and they would get separated a lot. We'd move a lot. And when it was about, I think I was in second or third grade, we lived in Illinois at the time. And my mom's parents lived in Tennessee. So my mom and dad separated at that time. So we moved back to Tennessee to live with my grandparents. So my uncle was there with his two kids. I had two other uncles, and then my mom and my sister and I. So there was 10 people living in an 1,100-square-foot house for 2 years. And so that was crazy as it was. But then my dad would come down and see us about every 2 weeks. When he'd come down, though, he was always drinking. My dad was only sober for like 2 weeks of my life, I remember. And I remember every time he would leave, I would just cry and cry. You know, it was so devastating to me as a little kid. I'm such a silly. But it was so devastating to me as a kid, you know, just him leaving and stuff. And I think it just built up a lot of anger on the inside, too, toward him. And when him and my mom would fight and stuff. But I remember praying as a little kid that my mom and dad would get back together. And when I was probably 10 years old, my mom got saved. She gave her life to Jesus. My mom and dad ended up getting back together. We moved back to Illinois. Dad didn't quit drinking, but he didn't go out as much as he used to. Like, he would just go to my grandparents' house every day, drink over there, but he wasn't always going like for days at a time. So I grew up just around that, you know, dad not home much as far as he's my grandparents, but he was always drunk when he did come home. And so when I got into high school, I always played sports. I was real athletic, played baseball, football, taekwondo. And my dad, my uncle, they always talk about fighting. They love boxing. They love fighting. They'd sit around and tell old stories about how they'd always get in fights and bar fights. And that's just the kind of the mentality that I grew up under. So that's how I lived my life. That's what I wanted to do to get attention. So me and my friends, we'd start hanging out. We'd go out to the bars. We'd start fighting. I mean, at 15, 16 years old, I'm going down, you know, downtown Peoria looking for fights. I needed a story to come home and tell to my dad, you know. I wanted to be one of the guys. And so that's what got their attention. So I would do that, and we'd fight and hanging out. And I started when I was like 17 years old, started hanging around, like, you know, people in gangs and drugs. And I started really getting out there. But I also started with boxing at this time. So I was learning to box, plus I was using it on the streets and partying. I mean, I was just going crazy. When I was 19 years old, I moved to Tennessee to box. I moved down to Knoxville, Tennessee, and they had a great gym down there. It was such a great opportunity for me. Ace Miller had an amateur gym, the Golden Gloves Arena. And so I went down there, and I was living in the gym. I had a great training. I was doing great, but I just cannot stop drinking. I mean, it ain't like I tried. I wanted to, I guess. It's just like I love that party lifestyle. So I'd go out, and then, so after a couple months there, about 5 or 6 months in Knoxville, a friend of mine, he decided, he's like, hey, man, I got an idea. He said, let's go to the Army. We'll go in on the buddy system. We'll be on the all-Army boxing team. They will pay for us to train, because we wasn't getting paid down there. We were having to work as well. He said, they'll pay for us to train. We'll be on the all-Army boxing team. We'll stay together, and we'll just travel around and fight. And the kind of person I was like, I'll do anything. You know, I was that crazy. I was like, okay, we'll join the Army. So I ended up signing up for the Army. My friend that I was going on the buddy system with didn't sign up. So I ended up going to the Army on the buddy system by myself. And it wasn't like I was, at the time, a patriotic person or anything. I was going because my friend wanted to go, and I thought we'd go in there and, you know, be on the boxing team. Went through basic training. You know, I had a couple fights in there. I was just a rebellious kid. I didn't like taking orders. I didn't like nobody telling me what to do, and I didn't like other inmates trying, I mean, inmates like prison, but other soldiers, you know, talking back or anything. Got a couple fights there. Went on to AIT. When you get to AIT, it's like you get a little bit more freedom. So I got to go out to the bars and hang out, party. And I remember coming back one time after we got a weekend leave, got out of tax and just fell on my face. I mean, I was just hammered. Well, it was 3 days before my graduation of AIT. And then when I graduated AIT, I would get to go off to Fort Bragg, and I was going to go airborne. I go to Fort Bragg, then I go to Fort Benning, and then I go to Fort Bragg, and that's where I'm going to be on the boxing team. 3 days before my graduation of AIT, I come in the day room, and there was a guy sitting on the phone, and I turn on the TV. When I turn on the TV came on loud, and the guy said, turn that blanking TV down, except because. And I was like, ask me nicely. He said, I said, turn that blanking TV down. I said, ask me nicely. So this big old guy gets up, gets in my face. We start pushing, wrestling around, roll on the chairs. And when we stand up, we square it up with each other, and I hit him right in the face. And I turn, I slammed his head into the wall and just busted his face wide open. So then everybody comes in, they're breaking it up, you know, and they made us come out, all go to formation down. The captain's out there, and everybody's out there. So they're all like, who did this to him? And so I was like, I stepped out of line. I was like, no, I did it. So they made us a hold over there. I was supposed to graduate in 3 days. They wouldn't let me graduate. I was going to be there for like 6 months to a year picking up cigarette butts. Only reason I went in there was I wanted to be on the boxing team. I was 19 years old, and I was like, I can't do this. I ended up going AWOL from the Army. Stayed gone for about 5-6 months. I stayed gone for a couple months. And then my mom talked to the people, and they said, if you're gone for so long, I was only in for 5.5 months in the Army, so they called it unable to adapt. They just erased my record like I never even was in the Army. So I ended up coming to Nashville, coming down here, and that's when I really started boxing down here in Nashville, and kind of really started kind of getting my life together, too. Ended up getting married, that's kind of where my life started going after that.
Just tuned in. We're talking with Anthony Cooper. He and his wife, Leanne, have a wonderful TV program and a ministry called Ring of Faith in Nashville, Tennessee, and Anthony sharing his testimony with us. So, Anthony, what happened that kind of made you, in your early 20s, that kind of sent you spiraling into addiction and depression?
Well, right after me and Leanne got engaged, that's my wife, Leanne Cooper. After we got engaged, my I just signed with Don King. She just signed her first record deal. She was a country music singer at the time. And right after that, I was going off to camp. There's boxing camps where you go off and train and get ready to fight. I just signed with the boxing promoter here out of Nashville, and Don King and my manager, they were going to start promoting fights out of Nashville. When I went off to camp, got down there, and I found out that my mom had passed away while I was at camp. That was devastating to me. I never had lost anybody close to me, and at that time, my mom was the closest person to me in my life, and I was devastated. So I flew home, buried my mom, and ended up staying up in Illinois with my dad for a while. And I was crazy as it was. This was like fuel to the fire. I started drinking more, started, you know, getting into cocaine, speed, whatever it was, you know, and just, I accepted Jesus as a kid, but I didn't know about God's word or renewing your mind, the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know any of that stuff. I just knew I didn't want to feel like that. And the only way I knew how to get rid of those feelings that for the moments was by drinking and drugs.
So what happened then that made you realize, you know what, I think I've got a problem?
Yeah. I've been doing this for a while, and I ended up started selling drugs. A buddy of mine, he would come down to Nashville, and he'd always have like the Escalades, the nice cars, wads of money, you know, living the rock star lifestyle that I wanted to live. And so one time they came down for my birthday, and they ended up giving me $5,000 for my birthday. Me at that time, that was a lot of money. I mean, I'm trying to make it as a model, singer, boxer. Leon's trying to make it in the music business. And $5,000 at that time, you know, when you're waiting tables trying to make it, that's a lot of money. That's how the devil will play you if you let him. And so I was like, man, I owe this dude now, you know. He gave me $5,000. So then I ended up started running out west, picking up drugs for him, you know, and hauling back and forth drugs. And at first, it's me and him and his girlfriend would go out there. They'd come back. And then it's me and him, and then I'm driving out there by myself, hauling drugs cross country, and I'm getting $20,000 a run, $40,000 a run, and I'm blowing it just as fast as I could get it. But it's like I always had money, and I felt like I was above the law. It's like I could do whatever I wanted to do, and nothing would happen. I'd go in, we'd get in bar fights. I mean, just acting crazy. I'd be, you know, up for 2 or 3 days, not even getting in trouble, and hauling drugs, have all this money. I'd go into the restaurants, just leave $100 tips. I mean, it was just like I was just crazy, and nothing was happening to me. But this time, Leanne had given up her music career and really started seeking God. You know, she grew up in church, but she never really had a relationship with God. But she started really seeking after God and praying for me, and, you know, God really revealed to her what she needed to change in her life, and she started praying for me. Her story is that, you know, after the first 6 months, I got worse. And then after that, she started kind of seeing a change in me. And I started listening to a preacher on TV by the name of Joel Osteen. You know how you talk about hope, that's your big thing? Well, Joel Osteen started giving me hope, you know, and just about being nice and how God was just really flowing through him to draw me in. The Bible says, Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. So it's the goodness of love that leads us to repent. Repent means to change our mind. So I just started watching him, and he became like my church. But I was still going out west hauling drugs. But as I'd go out there, I'd be listening to Joel Osteen, or I'd be listening to praise music, and Leanne was praying for me. And she learned about Mark 11:23, how that you can speak to mountains and the power in your words. And my aunt taught her about faith and not giving up on our marriage, and how, you know, God's word can change our lives. And so she really started standing on that, how the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, God watches over his word to perform it. Isaiah 55:11, his word don't return void. Mark 16:20, God confirms his word with signs following it.
All right, Anthony, hold it right there for just a second, buddy. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but the good news is Anthony's going to be back with us again tomorrow, so make sure you tune in tomorrow as we're going to continue our conversation with Ring of Faith Ministry, Anthony Cooper. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.